revelation. Eh? I say it again.
Amen.
You are in an atmosphere of revelation.
Amen.
Now, it's very important you get what that means. Eh? Long ago when the Lord called me into ministry, he set the foundation of what my ministration would be about. Three major things. One is intimacy with the Holy Ghost. With God.
Amen.
Secondly, is maturity through growth.
Amen.
And thirdly, is the acquisition of genuine results, absent of manipulation.
Yeah.
Huh? I had to add that part. Eh? Praise the Lord. Eh? So, first is intimacy with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
With God.
Amen.
Second is maturity through growth. And third is acquisition of genuine results,
Amen.
Absent of manipulation.
Amen.
Now, I'm not just saying this. Please hear me very carefully. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 19. Matthew 28, verse 18 to 19. Okay. And the Bible says, let's read together. One, two, three, go. And Jesus came and spake unto them. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking actually to the disciples at that time. Eh? There were 11 of them. One had done a dare-dare and wasn't in the mix. Eh? So he's speaking to 11 disciples. Please listen very carefully. Eh? And the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Now, you must understand. Let me first pause there. You must understand that there are certain attributes of God that have different dimensions. When the Bible says all power, it means power has different dimensions.
Yeah.
Scripture talks about in Colossians 3:16, it says that the word of God may dwell in you richly in all wisdom.
Amen.
All wisdom.
Amen.
The Bible talks about 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says that you might abound in all grace.
Yeah.
All grace.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Eh? So the attributes of God have different dimensions. Dimensions that many of you have know nothing about, eh? But you're going to know. Praise the Lord. Eh? Okay? So it says, all power, Jesus is speaking, he says, all power is given unto me. By the way, before Jesus came onto the earth, an angel appears to Mary and tells Mary that you shall have a son and gives Mary a name. That name was Jesus, Yeshua, which means Savior, salvation. Okay? Now, Jesus is given that name from the time he's born on earth until he's 30 years old. He's known as Jesus of Nazareth. He becomes the Christ when he's anointed. Okay. Christ means anointed. He becomes Jesus Christ at the baptism. Okay? Simple ABC. Alright? Then, when he dies and resurrects, he becomes Lord of Lords. Eh?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Eh?
Yes.
Very, very important. He says, all power is given unto me, and I'm going to get to that if we get time, depending on your reception. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I can just preach an entire sermon on just that. Eh? But let's go to verse 19. Verse 19. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go back to verse 19. Very, very important. Yeah? It says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Now, hear me, children of God. If you're going to hear something, hear it today. That here, when Jesus is speaking, he's speaking to 11 disciples, but he's ultimately speaking to all of us, as long as you're a child of God. And here he gives the mandate. God gives a mandate It's not just an assignment, it's a mandate. Pap gives it to the 11 and is also given to each and every one of us here, as long as you're born again. Now, the perception is that that mandate is to go out and evangelize and win souls. It's not just that. That part of scripture is not just talking about evangelizing and winning souls. Saving them from damnation. That's not the only thing it's talking about. Because most people, when they quote this scripture, what they've done is they've said, you guys, we have to go out. Remember, Jesus said, go ye out into all the nations. And indeed, there's a dimension where you have to go and evangelize and win souls to God. But there's a deeper dimension that most men seem to neglect. He says, teach all nations. Teach them. Now, I have to go slowly. Nations there are not just physical geographical boundaries. There are spheres of influence in the spirit. Kale, you don't know where I'm going, but it's okay. It's okay. Nations there are not just physical geographical boundaries. They are spheres of influence in the spirit as well. They are systems. Now, he says, teach all nations. What he's actually talking about is what we call discipleship or disciple. Make disciples of the nations. Now, to make disciples of nations, for a person to make disciples of a nation, you have to be in a place yourself where the nations can look at you and be conformed. Okay, okay. Discipleship means I take a person, conform them to my lifestyle and character. So many people evangelize, go win souls, but very few disciple. Now, not just everyone can disciple. Not just everyone. Because in order for you to disciple nations, you must be in a place where the nations are willing to conform to you. Okay. Let me take it a little deeper. To qualify to disciple a nation, to qualify, you must have a number of things. First and foremost, you must be a model. Now, not model the one who walks. You must be a model. And let me explain what that means. It means that you must be a standard by which people look at you. Please understand that the entire world as we speak right now is looking for reference points. Huh? You know, it doesn't make sense to go and preach a gospel to someone, and this is why the church has been quote-unquote ineffective. Because I have learned over time that the most powerful thing in the Christian walk is results. Now we're getting there. Because I know many of you here are seeking. Yes? The most powerful thing on the face of in Christianity, the most powerful thing is results. Now, I told you the first thing to qualify to disciple is to be a model. Model means you're the standard. You've captured something and people look at you and say, that's it. You see, it doesn't make sense for me to come, pastor, and say, God provides, but when I look at you, you're broke. To be a model person in relation to that means that if I'm called to career, the only way I can reach people in the career area is if I rise through excellence, even though supernaturally. Yeah. Then I can disciple. Yeah. If I'm going to be a model in terms of finances, I can't be broke. I can't. Okay, I'm going to step on some toes today. Praise the Lord. Amen. He says, go and teach the nations. Make disciples of them. The first thing is to be a model. The second thing is to be a force. To be a force means you provoke change. You walk into a room and literally you're a voice. You speak and someone, whether they want or not, is like, no, there's something about this chap. Yeah. To be a force means to provoke change. Yeah. Thirdly, is to be an influence. Influence means that you've reached a place where non-believers look at you and have concluded the only way for them to get where they want to get is to conform. So, three things. You must be a model Christian. Secondly, you must be a force. Thirdly, you must be an influence. Now, please, I want you to be with me because I see you're not yet there. You're determining how far I go. Listen carefully. There is something about, the Bible says that Jesus 5,000 men absent of women and children counted. 5,000 men followed a man for 3 days. 3 days, not looking for food. They thought to themselves, there's something about this chap. And the Bible says they didn't even ask for food. The Bible says Jesus looked and said, we need to feed these chaps. That means they were not after food. There was something they saw and they said, no, there's something about this chap. Praise the Lord. Jesus speaking in the Beatitudes, he said, you are the light of the world. Amen. Then he said, the salt of the earth. Then he said, a city on a hill cannot be hidden. The Bible says that Jesus, meeting a Samaritan woman, sits with her at the well. Scripture says she leaves him saying, come and see the man who has told me all that has happened in my life. He didn't say, go and evangelize. She saw something that spoke more than the words that he was saying. Do you know that results end arguments? Huh? Say amen.
Amen.
Results end arguments. Now, it's important you understand that you see most of us, actually the church in general, a large percentage of the church has presented a weak Jesus. So what we do when we're going for ministry, mission, and I used to do this myself, the Lord actually repented. We used to go for missions and you say, do you want to give your life to Jesus? We were suggesting. In the Bible, there are no suggestions. Scripture says that Paul stands and he says, today is the day for salvation. Yeah. Scripture says in Acts 17, he says he comes to some Greeks. They had put up a pillar of an unknown God. Then the Spirit of God speaks through him and says, he says, God says, your days of ignorance I overlook. Now I command, repent. Amen. Do you see any suggestion there? Do you want to give your life? No. That's not. We're not in a kingdom of suggestions. You're not going to win your company. You're not going to win over your boss. You're not going to win over your family with suggestions. Hey, you guys. In fact, I suggest to you that dimension that we live in now, first you have results, then you evangelize. Yeah. Then you... You see, I know some of you are like family. You're like me. You have family members. And you think, how on earth am I going to get this person born again? And so you spend hours praying. No, that's not how it works. Eh? What you do, and this is the strategy, you don't go out to preach just for the sake of evangelizing. You sit down and learn to create results. Now, this is the issue. This is the thing now. Please understand that Jesus sends the disciples to nations. Everyone here has a territory. Everybody in this room has a territory. And that territory grows with obedience. The Bible says Jesus appears. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts 1 verse 8. Will I get where I want to reach? But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus speaking. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in, starts with Jerusalem. Then he says in Judea, then Samaria, then unto the uttermost parts. He doesn't start with the uttermost parts of the world. Because there must be a progression of increase of territory. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. What you do not know is that when someone grows, what you, I feel like I have a lot to say. You see, child of God, and I need to help you. You need to learn to pray for God to show you the nation that you're supposed to go to. A nation, I'm talking about systems, the territory. That's one. Number two, and then pray for him to give you results to be able to reach easily. Because otherwise you're going to struggle busy trying to preach. By the way, we're not supposed to be frustrated. Now, let me teach you something. Everyone here, when they were born, has specific territories that the Lord set for them. Areas in the spirit. Everyone. Now, when you grow to the apex of your call, you become a king in the territory. Then we actually say you are now sitting on your throne. Now, the Bible gives directives of it. You look through it. You see scripture, when Jesus came on earth, Jesus did not have authority over all the earth when he came. That's why when he sent out his disciples, he says, go only to the children of Israel. When people outside the children of Israel came to him, he said, I was sent only to the house of the children of Israel. He had a certain mandate. Even Jesus, Son of God on earth, did not have authority over all the earth. Until then he dies, resurrects, and he says, all authority has been given unto me. The Bible says, listen, I want to show you territory. We'll teach on it on another day, but I want to highlight it because it's important. Elijah stands up, says there shall be no rain. He doesn't say over all the earth. Lord have mercy. He knows his mandate, his area. And as long as he's there, whether you're also a prophet, whether God appears to you in dreams and visions, you shall also see drought. That is authority. That is territory. Territory grows with the ability to understand the areas and the places in which God has called you. Now, children of God, we need results. We need results. History shows us that long before, if you look through history, the generals that we call generals in the church, people would go line up at 2 a.m. for something that was happening at 7. At 7 a.m. They saw that there was something strange on this person. Whether it's raining, whether we are fighting for a place, whether it's dark, whether it's snow. I just need to be in the same area as this person. That is what you call a force. Someone walks into a territory and literally forces himself in it. The world has to conform. And that's actually the place that the Lord now desires for us. Because you see, imagine for a moment, if in this room there was someone with a mandate for business, that person grows so much, they become the richest person in this nation. When they become the richest person in this nation, they're speaking in tongues, pray every night, okay? Come to church for worship. There will be non-believers who look at them. Whether they believe in what he's believing in is not the problem. They just want to be around him, you understand? So the church that he goes to, they will follow. I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. So they'll come and sit, whether people are kissing feet, whether people are doing what, may I know, I've seen this chap, he has results. Now I'm telling you, we have no time for dialogue. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's why I'm telling you that the place where the Lord is taking us. Now, the reason why I'm saying this is because there are secrets that I've learned that I stumbled upon. I learned long ago. I remember I used to pray. And some people were here. When I just started ministry, we used to announce. Please invite your friends. Then I would go at night. And you know, those days I would teach deep, deep things. You guys are joking. Huh? Like real, real deep, deep things. Eh? Deep, deep things. But imagine, there would be empty chairs. So I thought to myself, it doesn't work to tell people, you go invite your friends. So I started going back to my room and I pray, Lord, grow my ministry, Lord. Grow my ministry, Lord. Grow my 1 week, 2 weeks, until one day, the Lord, after keeping quiet, one day, the Lord said in my spirit, and I know when he speaks, he said, shut up and grow. Because the principle is, kings come to the brightness of your shining. Okay? You guys. Huh? They come to the brightness of your shining. There are ministries on the face of this earth where they don't say, bring a friend. People just come. And you see, even back those days before projectors, before Facebook, before all this publicity, people would come from all over the world to see a man. How did they know? Because you see, when a man grows, his territory increases beyond his physical location. Someone will say, but there's something in the States. I don't know what it is. Get on a plane. When they reach there, they say, this is the chap. By the way, I don't know if they do it here. Brenda, you should stop saying, please invite a friend. What you should be saying now is, see you next Friday. Praise the living God. Now let me teach, because that was just precursor. Now, it's very important you understand that I learned over time that life is lived in dimensions. Life is lived in dimensions. Simple statement, but it's crucial for your life now. Life is lived in dimensions. Now, what that means is that I need someone. Now, I want you to see, I need a second person. Come. It's okay. Now, I want you to see something, because I don't want to take so long. I want us to pray. Now, life is lived in dimensions. Here are two different types of people. The perception we have on the face of the earth right now is that life is general. Once you're alive, you're living. You breathe, you're living. But life is actually lived in dimensions. And let me explain what that means. This is Emma. Around Emma, the level that he's at in the spirit determines the realities in his life at that time. Amen. This is Moses. The level that he's at in the spirit determines the realities in his life at that time. Before you came onto this earth, God ordained this law that every man, based on the state of their spirit, would determine the realities thereof. Now, what that means is that what you don't know is actually Emma here and Moses. The Moses you know, after some time can change and you see a different version. The same is true for Emma. There are different versions of you and higher versions.
Amen.
There was a Jesus before he died. There's a Jesus after he resurrected. That Jesus after he resurrected had no blood inside him. Okay, for another day. Huh? But he's a different kind of Jesus with a different kind of body. Now, when the Bible says we move from glory to glory, it is saying there's a transition. Whether you pay attention or not, there are higher dimensions of you. Now, those dimensions have realities. There is a place in, say, Emma's life, at a level of relationship he has with God, where transport is given by mommy. Please listen. Okay? Okay, let me leave that. Eh? So transport is given by mommy. Moses is at a different level where he earns money. Okay? But what you don't know, you think it's just random. You think it's just happening. But that's not true.
There are prayers that we make that are ignorant prayers. And God answers them, not because what we're doing is right, but because he's merciful. So let me explain. Here are two kinds of people. Emma and Moses. Emma is the kind of Christian, at a certain place in his life, is praying in tongues constantly. Okay? Praise in tongues. When he's going for prayer, he's praising tongues. When he's starting a prayer, he says, Lord, we'd like to thank you so much for the things that you've done in our lives. 5 minutes, then he goes into serious tongues. Now, these two are the same prayer session. Let's say they're not at a prayer session. Let's say they're praying in the same place at night somewhere. They are together. They've agreed to go together. Emma starts praying and gets into his tongues. Moses, the entire time, is, Lord, I just thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You're merciful, Lord. Emma can think, this guy is not serious. He has nothing to pray. You understand? Now, what he doesn't know is that when you grow in spiritual things, the dimension of how you respond to things differs. I'm telling you, there are things that Moses has probably gone through or learnt that require thanking for an hour. Amen. Oh, Lord. Okay. That this chap here, because he's young in the spirit, is still enjoying himself, is still what? Just says, Lord, I thank you. I give you all the glory, all the praise. Braka, shit, take care. By the way, what I'm teaching you is extremely important. Okay? The two are in different dimensions. Moses has gained maturity in the spirit and knows that Emma is praying amiss. Emma thinks Moses is praying amiss. Eh? But Moses actually knows who is off. But he allows it because there is a system where God discards ignorance and answers by mercy. So Moses is following a rule in the Bible. We shall enter his gates. Emma is busy shouting outside the gate. Shouting. So what the Lord does, for the sake of his word, he comes out to the gate where Emma is and answers him. But that's not how it's supposed to be. Hey! Now, this is very important you understand. That we live life in dimensions and there are realities that God put. It's a law. An ignorant prayer is when you say, Lord, take this away from me. There are prayers like that that are ignorant. Why? Because when God set realities at different levels, he made sure that the realities can't shift. It's you who must move. Okay. So you don't say, Lord, please take away this landlord who is disturbing me day and night. No. You must grow to a place now where you enter a place and you can say, and now I can pay my thing. You understand? You've left that realm. You can't shift that reality. Neither can you bring. You must grow.
I don't know it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Emma, you're getting what I'm saying? Eh? Okay, you sit. Am I speaking Japanese? No. You're getting what I'm saying? All of us here, we live life in dimensions. Life is dimensional. Every single day, there are things that come your way and are in your life simply because of the certain level that you're at in the spirit. And so when you shift, they'll disappear. There are men, I'm telling you currently, and I'm amongst them. There are men on this earth who reached a level of relationship with God and they realized there are things that came their way that they did not pray for. Because the rule is once you are in a certain place with God, things must come. At certain levels, there's a place when you have a relationship with God where it becomes an abomination. It becomes wicked for you to pray for 5 minutes. At a certain place,
Why? Because you've gone through enough. You've seen him work. Your testimonies have accumulated. You can't just come before him and say, Lord, I just want to thank you. And you move on. May God take you to that place. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Okay? There are certain levels in the spirit where a person reaches. And I'll give you an example. I was telling a few people the other day. It is ridiculous for me to go 24 hours and I haven't received money. 24 hours. Me, no. I'm not just saying it. Me, I'm telling you. 24 hours. I went to sleep, went through that day, and I go to sleep and I haven't received money. No. Now, there was a time where if a month went and I hadn't received money, I would say, what's wrong? There was a time before that where I would say, it's a year. You wait until the year has ended and you say, the devil is attacking. But for me, if it goes 24 hours, I think to myself, this is an attack. 24 hours. By reason of the grace upon my life and certain men, there are places where you reach in the spirit where if people don't send you messages looking for you, there's something wrong. How do I go 24 hours and someone I don't know hasn't sent me a Facebook inbox? My grace calls people whether I want it or not. You understand? So it becomes a bit of an issue. Today what's wrong? You guys. And this is why I'm telling you, the people who reach, you reach a place, and I'm not talking about just men of God. You. Where? May God take you there. Where one day you're looking for customers, another day they're piling outside your shop. You reach there, and then you start apologizing. I'm sorry, I'm late. They say, no, for some reason, we just had to stay. But they had other options. There, I'm telling you, there are growths in the spirit where a person, by pursuing intimacy, not pursuing money. Because you see, the thing is, money is a reality based on the level. So you're busy trying to change the money. But based on where you are, it is a standard. And so when you grow, the amount of money grows with it. Whether it wants. You guys. Praise the Lord. Am I speaking gibberish? I'm not speaking gibberish. Praise the Lord. There are dimensions in the spirit. I learned over time, and I'm going to be teaching you this if the Lord allows me. Because last week I was talking about laws. But there are systems. There are systems and laws that God put in place to make sure that you get results. In fact, they command them. If you understand these things, you will never be broke. You'll never be broke. You'll never fail to stand before anyone you desire. Let me show you something. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 3 verse 20. Take me there. Quick. Exodus 3:20. Because there are things you need to learn. This is God speaking to Moses. He says, I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will let you go. Verse 21. He says, and I will give this people, which people? Israel, favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Now, here's the spiritual rule. Favor is not in the ears. It's in the sight. Favor is seen. It is not heard. In other words, going to a ministry in front there somewhere and saying, you guys, you don't know I'm rich. No. We don't want to hear. We don't want to hear. The Bible says favor is in the sight. Throughout scripture, people say, if I have found favor in your sight, you see favor. You see it. Yeah. Okay. And the Bible says, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you shall not go empty. That means the moment favor is upon you, you can't be empty-handed. It's a spiritual rule. It is ridiculous for someone to say they are favored and they are empty-handed. Favor is not upon your head. It's in your hands. People see it and they say, this person is favored. Let me show you. The Bible says, Esther chapter 5. I believe it's chapter 5. Is there an Esther chapter 5? Yes, there is. Esther chapter 2 verse 15.
If I remember correctly, anyway.
Okay. Now, when the son of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go into the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all. Some? All. All them that looked upon her. They just looked. Favor. Now, may that be your portion in Jesus' name. Because you see, I believe many people here, Christians, are praying for money, yet all they need is favor. Amen. Oh, Lord. All they need. Do you know the Bible says, actually, historically, Esther was 60 years old. She was busy competing with 20-year-olds. Serious bodies, young skin. You know what I'm talking about? And the Bible says they were virgins. Lord have mercy. And so they walk in, what, one by one. Scripture says one by one they go unto the king. I won't go on the king's part. Let's just leave that one. So one by one they all go in. Here is a 60-year-old woman. And the Bible says she walks in and all that see her. Hey! Now, let me tell you a principle. This is one of the things. Instead of praying, God give me money. Instead of saying, God, give me a job. Lord, favor me. And you see, the thing is this. Hey! Somewhere out there, this is what favor does. Somewhere out there is a chap who went and bought land. I'm giving an example. Bought it, and the Lord told them, you're buying it, but it's not yours. So he keeps it, but doesn't know who he has bought it for. Now, just like the virgins passed by, people come, pass by the person, nothing. Pass by the person, the day you pass by, his eyes are open. Then the Lord says, that one. Are you seeing what? Favor is seen. May God bless you with favor. Because you see, I know for a fact, you know there's a place in scripture that says that there's one who wakes up early and then stays up late at night in vain. And it says, and sorrow is his portion. But that's not yours. That's not your point. And I know that there's some of you who have struggled with tuition, struggled with what, struggled with relationships, struggled with what, all these things. And you need to realize, listen, to get results, you need the power of God in your life. I told you, now let me do a little round off. The power of God comes in a number of ways. This will help you. The first place the power of God comes is as a result of intimacy with God. So there are people who see the power of God through their lives because they're intimate with Him. The second reason of why power comes is because people have learned the laws and principles of God. So when you learn them, all of a sudden you know how to ignite the power of God. For that second part, you don't really have to have a relationship for it to work. There are people who heal, don't know God. People operating in authority don't know God because they've mastered principles. The third thing through how power comes is when you sit under a person who is graced. Now what happens is, now this is very, very important, you understand. The person did all the work, you did nothing. And then because of them, results come your way. Now, when they come your way, listen, when they come your way, it's because of virtue, the virtue of the person you're sitting under. Now, that's why you hear certain people say, you don't need to pray. You don't need to tithe. You don't need to sow. Because they've thought to themselves, they've looked around and seen they're having results anyway. Not knowing it's because of who they're sitting. You know that is true because the moment you sit down with a person and ask, Negwe, how are you getting your results? They will talk for 30 minutes venting ignorance. In other words, they don't know how it came. In the end, after 30 minutes, you say, but really, do you know how this is? Actually, even me, I don't know how it comes. Because you're sitting under a grace and suddenly things just begin coming your way. There is a place for that. But please understand that the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. Take me there. 2 Timothy 2, 5. Quick. It says, and if a man also strives for masteries, this is what I'm telling you. You need to learn. Mastery is understanding the laws of God. You need to be a master, and not in all of them. Please understand. You see, I was with someone, and I know some of you are thinking this, that there are so many laws. How will I cram all of them? You see, pursuit of God in the spirit is beyond this earth. In other words, you pursue him even in the next life. That's eternal life.
Amen.
But for everything that has to do concerning this earth, there are finite, not infinite, finite laws that you can actually learn, and they can get you success instantly. That means they're not many. You just grasp them and it's done. So I'll give you an example. It's like how learning never stops. But when you're on campus, there's a curriculum. For you to pass in school, you learn the curriculum. You don't have to learn everything. So for your life and your call, there are actually laws that can get you success. And I'm not talking about lifetime. I'm talking about actually in 1-2 years, and you've changed. And once you've mastered them, some of them I gave them last week, but once you've mastered them, you will be a steward of it. You will know how things come and how to get things to live. So Paul writing to Timothy says, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. What he's saying is that a man striving for masteries lacks a crown if he does not go according to the rules. English. If a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned except he strive lawfully. There are laws, systems that God put in place. A system is something that produces itself over and over. You don't have to cram it. It was set before the foundation of the earth. So take, for example, God makes man and woman. A woman, by system that God put in place, was never meant to pray for a child. By system of the two coming together, a child is just supposed to come. That means when a woman has to pray for a child, something has interrupted the system. You see, systems were put in place, meaning you are never meant to pray. For example, growing. If there is a child who does not grow, something has interrupted the system. You're not supposed to pray, Lord, grow me. Now, just like there's a system for birth, there's a system for growth. There are systems for success. And I'm talking about succeeding in your area, not everything. Because we are finite beings. We are here in time. We don't have time to learn everything. Okay? Somewhere out here is someone who keeps yapping. Man, see me in 1 year, I'm a billionaire. See me in 1 year, the year ends. See me in another year, I'm a billionaire. See me in another year, the year ends. Someone else is saying, Naya, you guys, I am going to get married. You guys are going to see me. I'm going to get married. Now, there's a place where by decree that's right. But you see, like I've said, some people say things out of ignorance because there are laws you need to put in place. For example, like I taught last week, that law of the mind. Let me tell you something. It is so important to such an extent that if it was the only one you had crammed, results would come faster. If you are to cry in life, cry, but your mind is still active. Hey, you guys. Let me tell you something. Learn to pray for favor, and favor will come upon you. Because you see, what many of you need is understanding. You see, knowledge in the spirit is extremely crucial because it counters ignorance. But you see, the Bible says in Psalms chapter 11, verse 9, the just are delivered by knowledge. Now, let me help someone. There's a deliverance that comes as a result of prayer. There's a deliverance that comes as a result of prayer and fasting. There's a deliverance that comes as a result of knowledge. Praise the Lord. According to scripture. Verse 9. Give me verse 9. Psalms, verse 9. Now you're showing us wicked things.
Is it Proverbs 11 verse 9? Take me Proverbs.
You look for it.
Okay? Praise the Lord. Now, knowledge is extremely crucial in the spirit. Understanding is this. What most people don't realize is that understanding, when I asked you, if I asked you randomly, what is a miracle? If I asked you to quote for me a miracle in the Bible, some of you say Jesus walking on water, multiplying bread, resurrecting. You understand? But understanding in the Bible is a miracle. And I want to prove it to you. It's a miracle. The Bible says in Luke chapter 24 and verse 45, actually from verse 30, Jesus is walking with these guys that rode Emmaus. And the Bible says they invited him to eat. And the Bible says he broke bread and their eyes were opened. Then verse 45 says he sat with the disciples and explained to them the scriptures. Then the Bible says he opened their eyes. There is a miracle of understanding, yo. Actually, some people have it because scripture says, when it says 1 Corinthians 12, when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, it talks about the working of miracles, amongst which is the ability to open understanding. You guys. It's the ability to open understanding. Now, understanding is so crucial in the things of the Spirit that the Bible refers to it as light. Give me Psalms 18, very quickly, verse 28 to 29. 28-29. I want to close. The Bible says, for thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. He's talking about understanding. Verse 29. And he says, for by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. Notice the wall is not the problem. He hasn't run, the troops are not the problem. His problem is understanding. And once he gets it, by it, he jumps over walls. And please get me clear that in the spirit, understanding is a power. You can actually get it and be able to do things by virtue of light having come to you. Scripture says of Job, the Bible says Job 29, I think it's 29. Scripture says Job talks about how he was walking in darkness. Give me verse 1 and 2. Quick. Moreover, Job continues this parable and said, 2. He says, all that I were as in the months past, as in the days when God preserved me. Verse 3. He says, when his candle shined upon my head and when by his light I walked through darkness. Okay? He was talking about a certain level of understanding during a period of darkness. Verse 4. Then he says, as I was in the days of my youth, when the secret of God was upon my tabernacle. So he's talking about a place where God actually opened his eyes to see certain things in the spirit. He calls them the secrets of the Lord upon his tabernacle. Now those secrets are what I'm telling you, things that we call systems and laws that you apply instantly and you begin to see certain things work in your life. I'm telling you that if you begin to know that if you believe at the back of your mind that someone got to where they got by luck, you are thinking amiss. Because it is impossible on the face of this earth for anyone to get any place above by luck. They must have applied a law. It's impossible. Okay? Now, praying. Huh? Let's step on some toes. Praying. Lord, take me up there, take me up there, take me up there. Huh? I don't want to step on someone's toes, eh? Praying is like 2% of what you need to take you to a certain place. Because there are people out there not praying, applying a principle and getting there. You agree?
Yes.
You agree?
Yes.
When I come, because I feel that there's just so much I want to teach, and I don't want to lose you. But when I come, and when the Lord allows me to, because last week I taught on how many laws? I taught on 3 laws. One was what? Law of the mind. Second was what? Laissez-vous baiser. Law of men. And the third was the law of knowledge. And I was telling you that just by virtue of understanding these 3 things, I began to realize that somewhere in the spirit, there's something, you know, you don't have to sit there and say, and pay attention, be conscious, have I changed level? Just grow. You know, when you were 13 years old and you wanted to shift to 14, you did not think about, oh, but when will I be shifting to 14? You just found yourself there. When we were in school those days, people, people on all level were supposed to line up for meals. The rest of us, you know how it was. Huh? A level, you just come and you just, because you had trousers. Eh? They had shorts. Huh? So, the law in school is that once you're in A level, there's no need to line up. Now, if you're in O level and you start saying, "Now let's change the laws, sure. How come these guys are not?" It won't apply. What you need to do is grow. When you grow, you enter a different set of laws. And that's what I'm talking about in the spirit. There are laws that do not apply to specific people. Let me tell you, there are places in the spirit where certain people don't need, a person can be praying for someone. Someone who's sick, and they don't need to say, they don't need your faith. That's actually something they've captured in the spirit. They don't need you to say, "I believe." He just speaks, and it is done. But on a lower level, someone else says, "The problem, you don't have faith." All those are different dimensions. We know that there are levels in the spirit because Jesus, when he's about to leave, tells his disciples, "I have so much to say, but you cannot handle it." Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so you begin to realize that in your life, by the way, in your life right now, there are territories here. There are people who are meant to be kings in every dimension of life, every sphere. But you see, if you're busy trying to, like, I'm not wasting my time trying to go for cooking classes. For what? Why would I go for cooking classes? I have found my mandate. I keep on emphasizing to God, my prayers are, give me results in this area.
Amen.
I don't need to waste my time in cooking classes. Now, you can do it as a hobby, but the moment you start cooking, you play, cooking, your dimension, your call has to be sure.
Yes.
And the moment you know where it is, your territory begins to be defined. Suddenly, let me tell you, there are people by virtue of sitting under specific people. If someone has a spirit of excellence upon their life, by virtue of having it, you sit and by osmosis, it falls on you.
Yes.
Now, when it falls on you, you go say to Congo, start a Kafunda church. And by nature of what's on you, excellent people come. Now someone asks you, but where did you get these people? Even you don't know, but the law is this, that once it's on you, it calls. You don't have to fight. Now please, this is what I'm telling you. That the things of the spirit, the way they work, 95% of you here, I didn't have to call you. 95, actually, I think I'm even just being generous. 95%, I didn't have to call you. When that time when I was in my room and I prayed to God and God said, "Shut up and grow," I kept quiet. From that day, I've never made that prayer. Never. Actually, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, if you're called to ministry or if you're called to, you have a business and so on, I know the secret to growing something. In fact, these numbers here are only a so because I've learned to allow it like that. Because I know the confusion that comes from too many people. And I'm not just saying this. I found it one time in a room somewhere. I said, "Hey! This is the thing." But we see, when I look at Martha, when I look at, you know, Hajara, I look at people and I'm saying, Lord, I need these people to get results. I don't just want numbers. We need the people that are here to first rise. Then we won't need to start calling people. Come. They'll come by themselves. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not right to spend sleepless nights day and night just wondering, "Oh God, if you could just give me a job." That's not how it's supposed to be. May favor come upon you.
Amen.
May you walk into an interview and they just say, "There's something about you, woman."
Amen.
Something about you. Because favor is invisible. Let me tell you, every man on the face of the earth, born again or not, there's a favor that got them to a particular area. Someone, they needed someone's eyes opened. I'm telling you, right here in this room, the person that you, and remember what I said last week, God uses men. Your prayer that you've been praying for the past 3 weeks, someone in this room has it. Has the answer. Because you think it's going to come from heaven. Indeed it came, but through someone. Now the issue is, can that person be able to pick actually what you pray, "Lord, open the eyes of that person who's delaying me"? We used to pray nasty prayers. Lord, if my wife is out there and she's dating someone.
We pray for a breakup. Your tears were orchestrated by someone's prayers. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We are in a period of urgency for results. Urgency. Urgency. I sit with men of God every day. The people who mess me up. I actually wonder. There's someone who asked. Actually, it was mentioned up, but he said it again when we were sitting together. He said, but Daniel, are there broke people out there? Ah! Manai. Said, my man of God, I meet them every single day. Because there's a place that he reached where money just comes. And you ask yourself how. A person is hiding, people can't access them. In the past, there are people who grew so much that the grace of God fell upon them, that people sought them so badly just to be able to be in the same atmosphere as them. In the past, men, Catherine Kuhlman, people would fill up rooms. There are people with testimonies who met Catherine just once and their lives were changed. Pastor, how can I be in your church for 10 years and I haven't changed? Then you ask for my loyalty. I don't have to get, I'm not, you guys. 10 years I've been in your church. 10 years. I'm still broke. When I'm leaving, stop asking for my loyalty. Because when people have results, people can't leave where their things are working. Hey! Praise the Lord. You see, there is what they call the realm of education and intellect. A place where men have mastered things as a result of reason. But then there's a realm beyond that that is spirit. I call it spiritual intellect. One day I'll teach on it. Spiritual intellect. Where you get results and even the neighbor says, "Naegwe, olimubi." How? Today, as I was coming, I sat the... some of you don't have gatekeepers. You have to go and open the gate yourselves. Eh? May God upgrade you. But I had to go. I went to a gatekeeper. Actually, gatekeeper who was talking to the owner of the place that I'm staying at. And so he turns, and he happens to be Daniel as well. So he turns and tells me, he says, every time I see you, you're giving me large sums of money. Because I usually give him. You know, I don't like these things of the month is ending. Where's the rent coming? Ah! So I pay months ahead. And every time I'll get the money, I'll just give him. Eh? So he says, Nagwe, where are you getting this money from? Who are you sitting under? Who are you talking to? And where can I find them? Just before I came here, where can I find them? So I told him, you should come for fellowship. Doesn't work for me. I said, Kali, you stick there because you think you know better. Do you know by element of understanding, you look through scripture, the Bible says 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 2. Start from verse 1. 2 Kings 5, verse 1, quickly. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. Now, the mind was that Naaman, if it came to general stuff, war, Naaman was bad news. But you see, he's a leper. There's darkness. He's ignorant. And he needs someone who knows that area. Now, the Bible says that a young slave girl tells him, first of all, his issue was not just the sorting out, but who can I find? And right next to him is a young girl who doesn't know how, but knows who. When they send him to who, the who knows the how. Various degrees of understanding. Are you with me? Now, there are people on the face of this earth currently, right now, whether they're men who are rich, whether they're businessmen who are mighty in their area. But a day will come when they need you. And they will need a spiritual solution to something that is natural. Hey, you guys. I'm telling you. I prophesied to my landlord. Prophesied to him. I told him, have you ever been prophesied to before? He said, no, but I just hear that there are prophets on this earth. But me, I fear those things. I said, you fear? No. Usually I don't do those mess up things, because sometimes you can scare someone and they tell you, get out of my house. Huh?
So I sat with him, asked him his hopes and dreams, and in the process, I was prophesying to him.
Amen.
And for about 30 minutes, we're talking. So as I was walking away, he turned and says, wait a minute. How did you know? How did you know all these things? That's how you do it. Now every other day, he says, you know, man, you need to tell me the secret. I'm telling you, the world needs to come to the brightness of our shining. And that's how it's supposed to work. You're not supposed to be a beggar to a non-believer. That is the biggest abomination on the face of this earth. We're supposed to make disciples of the nations. You're supposed to. Now, you go back tonight. Don't just dream. Lord, I want to go to Canada. I was telling a few people the other day that you need to know that there are people who the devil blesses. I'll use the word blesses. Blesses them with a visa to go to an outside country just to get them out of the will of God. A visa is not always a blessing from God. Hey, you guys. There are chaps out there who the devil has blessed with a visa. Hey! Praise the Lord. And so you need to, these are the things that burden our hearts, because ultimately, if you begin to realize that ministry in its true sense is, I don't need to argue with you, just come, see my car. Suppose you said you saved how long? 5 years. I bought this just last week. You see, right now, if you have a problem with the prosperity message, if you have a problem with it, and you're a Christian, grow to a place where you think it should be, what it should be, then teach it. So that people, you see, people need reference points. It's ridiculous to teach something and there's no reference. Because it's like trying to fix yourself absent of a mirror. People need something to look to. Something to point to and say, okay, now this is the thing. This is how it should look like. Then they begin to mold themselves after it. It's not enough to just say, people are lying. They're cheating. They're what? What are you doing about it? Often in the spirit, God will give someone a burden for something they actually have the solution for. So take for example, you go for a prophetic ministry and you sit there and say, God, they're not calling born again people. I mean, they're not calling people to get born again. God, they're not calling. For you, it's a burden. It's in you. Go start your ministry. Are you with me? Stop telling me now you're not calling. Why are they bringing people to salvation? What? It's your burden. It has been put on your spirit. And we often see what has been put in us. Hey, another one goes to an evangelistic ministry, says there's no prophecy here. You go start your ministry and prophesy. Tuleke. Because ultimately, I told you, results end arguments. We don't have time. Personally, I don't have time. I don't remember the last time I argued with someone. Over Christian things. I used to call myself an apologetic. The Lord forgive me. Apologetics, by the way, is not apologizing. Emma. Apologetics is a type of Christianity where you're always trying to defend the things of the Lord. Okay? But the problem with it is that it's founded upon debate. And when you don't have time for debate, you just say, "What you what? You think I can't tell you a hidden secret? Hey, you come." And by the way, I'm praying the Lord one day. I keep on having visions where I'm in a news station. And there's someone, I can't tell you who, right next to me. And I'm being interviewed and I just stand and I say, you say prophecy is not real. Hey! You said what? No. Let's stop. Actually, the show will end quickly. God, the title in the vision has always been, is prophecy real? What? He said, Posy, I did not know you were going to be here. Actually, by the way, you guys, I feel it's going to come to pass. Yeah. And you will be eyewitnesses. Yeah. Make sure you keep this recording. Praise the Lord. That's the place of results. I'm telling you, it's the desire of the Lord right now. Don't feel comfortable where you are. A year ago, A year ago, my life has been on a progression, and I believe that's what yours should be.
Amen.
I didn't struggle to vibe. Say amen, brothers. No, no. Brothers, I'm not hearing you properly. I did not struggle to vibe. Favor. You understand? Eh? Favor. I just showed up. Okay, okay. Okay, that's my side of the story. Hers is different. Eh? Okay? I did not struggle to vibe. Huh? I did not struggle to start a ministry. I didn't. Whether chairs were empty or not, I did not struggle. When I started this ministry, someone came to me and said, the Lord has said that I should pay for the venue. At that time, the venue was 40K. 40K, I was believing God for 40K. Lord have mercy. I look back and I say, man, what level was I at, Van Nangen? 40K. And moreover, it was once a month. 40K once a month. And I would go and pray, Lord, if you could just provide the 40K, if you could just provide. Someone shows up, and for me, that was a miracle. Now you come with a miracle, 40K? No. No, 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 no. That's not a miracle. You see what miracles are? Remember what I told you about systems. Miracles is when a system has been out of place, and it restores it to the ordinary. Somewhere when I started 40K, after that, we took faith and praying to graduate from once a month to twice a month. So now that's 80K. Eh? And those days we used to give buns and milk tea. And sometimes I used to wonder, are people just coming for that tea? Ah. Buns and tea. Some people here were there. Huh? And I remember some people, someone would come and tell them, by the way, come for fellowship. There's going to be tea. And so people show up, and for you, you think it's because you're deep. But you see them on their phones, getting phone calls, what? And then when you're ending, they're staying around. I say, where's the chai? That was a level. To shift from that 40K, we had to shift now after 2 months to shift now to every day. I mean, every Friday. Just shifting that now. 40, how much is that? 120. That was another faith level. I met a man of God. He then comes and says, the Spirit of the Lord says you have done well. Now shift to Silver Springs. I come to Silver Springs. They say 2M. I was shaking in my trousers. Have I heard the Lord correctly? Now this is what I'm telling you about levels. Let me tell you. Ah, can I end with this? The Lord has reminded us. Because of levels, some of you think about the first phone you ever had. I'm guaranteeing you for 90% of you, you don't know where it went. Or think about the clothes you had 10 years ago. You think some of them you might have given, others you don't know how they disappeared. Why? Because there's a law. When you change level, certain things leave. You guys. Now, things leave. It's actually a mystery. Certain things leave your life. Why? Because you see, there are things, you call them dead things, non-living. But everything, God did not create non-living things. Everything was alive. And so your phone, even your clothes, they have ears and they have eyes. They obey laws. The moment you change level, they leave. Listen, as a minister, I never asked people to give me specific amounts of honorarium. At a certain point, it just changed. 20, 40, 50. I never talked to people. How? Once you change level, somehow they know this is too little. Are you getting what I'm saying? You change levels, and along with it, the things just obey. They obey. There are people on the face of this earth currently, men and women of God. You will be talking and debating. When they show up and begin to speak, there's a law that demands you keep quiet. They don't ask, please keep quiet. No, they just come and they begin to talk. Everyone, shh. Because the degree and the level at which they're at, it demands, when this anointing is speaking, shut up. You guys.
And I'm telling you the secret of things because you see, ultimately, what will get you where you want to get to is to grow. And I'm going to show you next time what you can actually do to get spiritual growth, to actually move in things in the spirit. So that you begin to realize that nasty people, players, what, they just leave you. Huh? Rabbi, I don't know, I'm just attracted to bad boys. You have no idea how many times I get that, by the way. I'm just attracted to bad boys. Me, bad boys. Hey! I look, I say, Lord have mercy. So you bring a picture. Should we pray for salvation? And you see, there are certain, listen, as a child of God, there's a grace that can fall upon you like this. There are places you will never, ever have to pray to enter. There are people praying for visas for you. Whenever you apply, the thing just goes through. And then you think, you don't know there's a good favor on you. Pop in that area, it's your grace. It's your thing. Actually, you can transfer it. You can lay hands. You say, you have a problem with visa. For me, I don't have. Come. Actually, sow seed. Ha! Hey! Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the living God.
Amen.
I am telling you what has got me to a place that I am at. I realized after some time, and I always know that I've changed levels. For me, it's always the finances.
Wow. Amen.
Why all of a sudden is someone bringing me 5M? A few weeks ago, a few months ago, it was 500K. It can show rank, yo. And I'm telling you, may you receive it in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. That you are looking for a two-room house. Then at a certain point, by faith, you entered into your two-room house. Then all of a sudden, you begin to look and you say, at first it was big, now it's small. It didn't reduce in size, you increased. And the reason why God fixes realities and they can't move, you have to move, is because there's someone else who has to move into your area. Someone else is coming from below and has to come into your place there, believing on God for a single room house. Then you shifted two rooms. Then you shifted three rooms. Please understand that I began to realize the way ministration is supposed to be is when I get a house and I'm only a husband and wife, we're only husband and wife, and I get a house that has six rooms. You come and ask me, why? Why do you, you're not serious. Why are you getting a house with six rooms? You're only two. Me, I'm thinking about being a disciple. I'm looking for people who come to me. They don't ask why. They ask how. Those are the guys I'm looking for. You who's busy saying why, you stay in your poverty. There are things that we do, not because we're proud, but because we have to minister without speaking. May that be your portion. In the name of Jesus. Ultimately, your testimony cannot just be getting a job. It's entering, and in a space of a couple of months, you're rising. They ask you, how? That's when you begin to say, let me introduce you to this ministry. That's when people who are busy complaining and saying, you see, we all have God. How can you say the God of someone? When they see your results, they'll ask, man, are we serving the same God? There's someone the other day, they looked in my life and they were saying, but you, it seems the devil focused on me and he hasn't visited your side, your side in a while. May that be your portion in the name of Jesus.
Come delve deeper into the mysteries of God with the distinct Rabbi Daniel Malinga every Friday, 5:30 p.m., Silver Springs Hotel, Bugolobi, Kampala, Uganda. For more information, visit our social media pages at Rabbi Daniel Malinga and website at www.rabbidanielmalinga.com.